Morning and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's. Our gathering words are inside the order of service. Today we review the year and all goodness and grace shown. Today we review contributions of all who make this place work. Today we come to renew our commitment, asking for a spirit of generosity and grace. Everyone, it's a good day today. It's a good day to have lots of people here, including some visitors from Timaru, and it's just nice to be together. We have left the red hangings up this week to mark Parihaka Sunday, equally as important as Reformation Day last week in our New Zealand history, and so that's the memory for today. Let us pray. Today, with an annual general meeting to follow, we ponder the life of this church. We give thanks for those who planted it here. First on the foreshore at Petone, and then in different buildings until settling here on the terrace. We give thanks for the faith and the grace shown, the determination and the courage and the commitment shown as they followed the God that they believed in. And we give thanks this particular day for those who have worked for this church in the past year. And we think of all the contributions, large and small, and we look at that gift, and we are grateful for it, whether it was generated out of love of God or community, or a desire to serve, whatever the motive, we give thanks for the gift. And also as we sit here, we think of what we have done during the year that we regret, and what we have not done during the year that we wished we had got around to doing. And in the space of silence, we let both of those go. And we think too of the hurts and the little wounds, the little paper cuts that have happened to us within this community and outside it during this last year. And in the silence, we ask for healing. And so we ask that this day, as we gather, as we think and reflect and look to the future, that our hearts will be open to receive the call to further commitment that will come to us. So may it be. Amen. There's a rainbow candle up here. Emily, would you like to light a candle? And Luke is coming too. Just as well, we've got a two-stage process, isn't it? So let's bring the rainbow candle over here. That's right. And Emily, light the taper and then give it to you, do you think? Oh, that was quick. Put it up like that. That's good. Oh, you blew it out at the same time. So the rainbow candle shows that everybody's included, including children. But today we're going to let you have a nice big long rainbow room and go out with Jess and spend all the time out there until communion. What do you think? Still smoking? Oh, there you go. Oh, it's not one of these relighting candles, is it? There we go.
We have some.
You have some of those. They're a trick, aren't they? Okay, so Jess is waiting there and Rosemary, and they'll take you and you'll have a great time outside and we'll see you back at communion. Won't that be cool? Good. Thank you. And we're going to do a little bit of shifting around of the program. We're going to have... we could bless Rosemary. Anyway, we're sending them to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, ask questions and have fun. And we're blessing them. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. So we're just switching the program a little. We're having the readings now, so Colmar will lead us in those.
The reading from the Hebrew Bible is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 12. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there, and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 25. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. And the contemporary reading is from the heart of Henri Nouwen, quotes from this Catholic contemplative book, The Sabbatical Journey. Generosity has many levels. We have to think generously, speak generously, and act generously. Thinking well of others and speaking well of others is the basis for generous giving. It means that we relate to others as part of our gen or kin and treat them as family. Generosity cannot come from guilt or pity. It has to come from hearts that are fearless and free and are willing to share abundantly all that is given to us. For the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
And I'm feeling rebuked that I didn't think, didn't think generously about the numbers of orders of service. And 3 or 4 people have just come in and won't have found an order of service at the back, including the one that's just come in. So those of you who live in the same house, if you could share, and Peter, perhaps you could collect, we need about 3 or 4. And people who don't have one, you could put your hand up like this and we'll share them around. See, a perfect lesson in generosity, isn't that lovely? Thank you. Any more? Anyone else need one? Okay, good. You may have got all the bits and pieces that go inside, or you may not have, so there still might be a gap. And I've got a whole spare one here. Who else wants one? You? One? No? Okay. And so now Lynn Dovey, our parish council convener, is going to speak to us. So that's where we are on the program. We'll now have Lynn, the passing of the peace, and Paul, and then we'll be turning the page, and 2 of the people who do things around the place will be talking to us.
Good morning, everyone. I want to reflect this morning on how we operate as a faith community. That is, how we organise and run our church and its related activities, and why. What motivates us to do this? This is especially appropriate given that our annual general meeting follows morning tea, and I hope many of you will attend that. Our annual report, which we will be presenting, provides a glimpse of what happens behind the scenes, as well as front of house, to borrow a theatrical analogy. The report sets out, in summary, what we have aspired to do and what we have achieved between the 1st of July last year and the 30th of June this year. We hope it is informative reading for everyone, and we look forward to your questions and a good discussion about it later on. So how do we organise ourselves to operate here at St Andrews on the Terrace? Well, we are fortunate in having Susan as a full-time and experienced minister. We also employ several members of staff, Letitia, our centre manager, and her team, to support Susan's work in running the church and to run the St Andrews Centre. And as an aside, because Susan will do the formalities later on, I want to acknowledge Karen Bishop, who is here this morning, so we can farewell her. Karen has been our office administrator for 2.5 years. I think that's right, Karen, isn't it? Maybe a little longer. She had her last day with us on Friday, and we are grateful for her contribution to the running of the office and the centre during the time that she has been with us. The reason we have this capable team is because the renting of our rooms and the spaces here bring in sufficient income to fund our activities. So in that sense, the church and the centre are closely intertwined. While other churches do this too, it is a departure from the very traditional way of generating a church income, which was through the weekly collection of offerings. Paul is going to talk about this further, but suffice to say at this point that the money we collect weekly is nowhere near enough to run our operation. So in that sense, we are a modern church, a 21st century church, if you like, that has, through necessity, moved away from that church tradition. But generating income and having a professional paid team are not the end of it. We also rely heavily on the work of volunteers. Every church, and indeed many other organisations, do this. And the fact that we rely on volunteers does not make us stand out especially. Did you know that in 2013 and 14, volunteers across New Zealand contributed more than 1 million hours per week to charities delivering social services across the country? That figure does not even include sports clubs. We are a nation of volunteers, and I think we should be proud of that as New Zealanders. I know that many of you offer your time and energy to a wide variety of activities and organisations, and for that, I salute you. We're going to hear from several of our volunteers today, but let me explore briefly why it is that people give generously of their time, energy, talents, and other resources to St Andrews on the Terrace. And to those of you who have offered your services in the past and now provide encouragement and support to those coming forward, thank you. What distinguishes us at St Andrews, perhaps, is that we have a wide range of volunteers who perform a very wide range of activities. So why do people volunteer? Let's start with the notion of generosity. The front page of the Order of Service provides us with a definition. It suggests that generosity means free in giving or sharing and or noble. Giving is a well enough recognised concept, but I did go to the dictionary to check a second definition of noble, as I don't think of aristocratic rank, title or birth was what was meant. No, indeed, the meaning of noble in this context is more likely to be, as the Oxford Dictionary suggests, having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals. That sounds more like it. These are, of course, secular definitions, but they are useful to us all the same in the context of our faith community, where we do espouse high moral principles and ideals. These are set down in our mission and values and under our six pillars, which are spelled out in the annual report. Giving, however, is a complex notion, as we might discern from our readings this morning. Our first reading suggests to me that if we are fortunate in our lives, we have an obligation to give thanks by providing for others less fortunate. It also introduces the notion of tithing. I suggest that the modern equivalent of tithing is the welfare state in a democratic system of government. Those who work pay taxes commensurate with their income so that all may enjoy a good education, a modern health system, and welfare benefits. As someone who's about to start collecting universal superannuation, I consider myself very fortunate to be living in a country where this is available. Tithing is still practiced by many churches too, as I understand it. It's not a concept that we at St Andrews have ever embraced, though, as far as I'm aware. We are more comfortable with the notion of stewardship. That is, our ability to take care of St Andrews on the Terrace. Not just the buildings, but the entire institution, which includes our faith. This is not least because we Presbyterians have a well-honed sense of running things efficiently and effectively. Anyone who's studied the Book of Order will know this. Volunteers make an enormously important contribution to the way we run things. This includes those who serve on parish council and its committees and subgroups, on the Sunday rosters, who are pastoral care partners, and those who participate in worship and the many other activities that comprise our enormously rich range of activities and offerings. Our second reading suggests to me that power and patronage are all very well and may benefit a privileged few, but that giving without a generous heart and without regard to the welfare of the wider community is not ultimately going to go well. This reading also suggests to me that expecting something in return for giving is not a recipe for universal success. And our contemporary reading reminds us that generosity is indeed more than being about money and patronage. We have to think generously, speak generously, and act generously. I'd like to think that our system of volunteer service here at St Andrews is about the latter. Thinking, speaking, and acting generously from the heart. There is no one single way of doing this. People's motivations and circumstances are all different. Often we give to the things and causes we feel passionate about. Passion is a very good reason to give. So why do we choose to give our time, energy, talents, or money? As I've said, we will all have our different reasons, but here are mine. First and foremost, I support the mission and values of St Andrews on the Terrace and the activities we engage in to bring our aspirations to fruition. I like being a part of a whole which is greater than the sum of the parts. I like the breadth of activities that we support and the collective voice that allows us to speak to the city and to the nation on occasion. In a world where the focus on the individual is in danger of eclipsing the focus on the collective, St Andrews on the Terrace has something important to say about the value of community and of teamwork. I want to add my voice and heft to these things. I want to support Susan and her team. As a member of the Ministry Settlement Board that called Susan, I feel a responsibility to ensure that she has enough resources to do her job well. I want to give back, and I'm fortunate to have the time and resources now to do that. I'd like to think that I have something useful to offer in the overall stewardship of our faith community. And I share that very Presbyterian value of ensuring that we run our institution well. And finally, I want to support the next generation of volunteers to step up and take on some of the roles that others have held, so that our faith community, in all its diversity, continues to thrive.
Thank you, Lynn. We're about to pass the piece, which we do very enthusiastically here, so don't be afraid if people enthusiastically come up to you to greet you. But just before we do, I'd like to pass on news about Frances Porter. After the seminar on Friday night, she needed to go to hospital because of extreme pain from an old artificial hip, and it has turned out that the hip has jumped out of its socket, which was causing extreme pain. So she's in hospital and she's fine now because she's free of pain. She'll be having a scan and there will be surgery scheduled. She's in Ward 6, but she's in a good place, and there's a message particularly for us at the AGM, but I thought the wider congregation might also like to know that. So pass the peace amongst yourselves and imagine Frances doing it too. One of the huge volunteer tasks at a church like St Andrew's is treasurer, and Paul Barber is going to speak to us now. Thank you, Paul, and thank you for being treasurer.
Yeah, well, in a service that's got a theme about giving, somebody had to talk about money, and I'm the treasurer, so I guess I can't really get around it. So this morning, I just want for a couple of minutes just to share with you a few thoughts about giving money and the reasons why giving money is important. I want to speak from my own experience and perspective and offer it to you as something to respond to when considering your own giving. And it will echo many of the themes you're going to hear, you've heard from Lynn, and you'll hear from others today, I'm sure. But I want to talk first of all about the fact that, you know, I give with that sense of gratitude for this community that I deeply value. That is where my spirit and my faith is truly nourished. And I see, as those of us who are members of this community, our job is to ensure that this ministry can continue to create this nourishing spiritual home that it is. We're so grateful and so lucky, fortunate, blessed to have people like Susan and Vivian and Jess, who are perhaps on the Sundays the more direct faces of our ministry, along with Letitia and Karen, Hillary, Lillian, Pete, and Mark and the team of cleaners as well, that help keep this place a welcoming space. And they need the security of knowing that we value their work, and our financial support is a really direct way of showing that. Another reason I give is out of that sense of personal gratitude that I am fortunate enough to have something to share and to give away. We live in an unequal country, in a very unequal world. I personally live in privilege in comparison to most of the population of this country, and certainly compared to most of the world's population. I most certainly do not need more, and undoubtedly have enough to share. And I give to support a vision to transform the world, to move closer to the vision of Jesus of Nazareth, who came to bring good news to the poor, the outcast and the oppressed. Simply being a welcoming community that we are, welcoming for all, helps make part of that vision real. Every act of justice we as a community can create, be it hosting a peace workshop, paying a living wage, helping welcome refugee families, advocating for inclusion for LGBTI people, planting a community garden, or buying fair trade tea and coffee. Those acts of justice are built on that common foundation of our life as a community. I also give because we're part of that wider communion of Christian churches across the planet. Our particular hapu, our tribe, is the Presbyterian Church in Aotearoa, New Zealand. It shares that 2,000 years of common Christian heritage with millions of others around the world, and we're all bound together in the body of Christ in the spirit of love, and that's greater than the sum of all our differences. So that great shared reconciling task of reconciling love needs cash as well as prayers. At the AGM later, we'll talk plenty about numbers, so I don't want to add too many numbers today. And I just want to ask you to think about a challenge that we set ourselves, as far as I can remember, about the time I became treasurer, which is getting close to 10 years ago now. And so half of you here today will probably may not have been here at the time of that commitment. So I invite you to consider it. As members of this community, we need to meet the costs of at least the stipend and salaries of our direct ministry team. And when we made that commitment 10 years ago, it lifted the planned giving from around $50,000 a year to $75,000 a year over a space of 3 years. It was amazing. It was a great start. But we've kind of got a little bit stuck since then. And if we're going to reach this goal again, we're going to have to lift our giving again. And to get closer to something like $115,000, which would be a nearly 50% increase. Can we do that? It's a question to ask for us to consider in our thinking ahead. And I know many of you here today already give and give generously, but this message is to all of us. We're not to become complacent. We are to set ourselves goals to build our vision of community, to build that community of love and justice, to strive for those goals, forgive ourselves when we don't achieve them, and celebrate the milestones along the way. We're never going to reach the full vision of God's commonwealth of love and justice, yet the strange and spooky thing is, by striving to get there, we're actually already living it, and it's given that spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. We are going to hear during this service from people who do things as opposed to put money in the plate, although they may also do that too. As minister, I know nothing about that. And the first one of those is Lynn Burrell, and I'm going to stand beside her because Lynn's one of those people that prefers to do things rather than talk about it. And this is an act of great courage and bravery.
My name is Lynette Burrell, and I have been a member of St Andrews since the late 80s and have served as a welcomer along with Brian, my husband, for many years. I enjoy being the welcoming face at the door, meeting and greeting folk as they arrive for the service. I take pride in being able to greet people by their name, which is made easier for all welcomers if people wear their name badge. When an unfamiliar person is welcomed, I ask if they are visiting and where they are from, and introduce them to another congregational member so I can continue to welcome others, and if possible, to let Susan know of their presence with us. On special occasions, such as Easter and Christmas Eve, it is a real buzz for me to welcome former members of St Andrews as they return to worship with us. This, I'm sure, makes them feel especially welcome to be greeted by a familiar face. That's the easy and fun part of welcoming. Prior to this, along with others, the church needs to be set up for the service. Importantly, making sure, especially in winter, the gas heaters are purring to keep us toasty warm. After the service, while the happy chatter continues, I buzz around tidying up until I determine it's time for all to leave, and slowly the lights are turned off, and finally the big doors are closed. My welcoming duty is over, and I happily leave the church neat and tidy, very often to be used for a concert that afternoon. like this afternoon, there is a concert here. So it's my...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lynn. And your service is appreciated. Remember that about the name tags, everybody. And Andrew Matthews is going to speak to us. He's one of the parish councillors, and he'll talk about how that is for him and how it came about and whatever else he's chosen to say.
I've chosen to say very little, really, except because you're going to hear quite a bit about the parish council in our annual meeting, those of you who are able to stay for that. And it's already been alluded to in part that, in my case too, some have some time available and some expertise to offer. And the parish council continues to work not just on at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, but through a range of activities right through the weekend and through the month. And as you'll see in the annual report, there are a range of groups or pillars or subcommittees that are formed where people have some expertise and time to offer. And so it might be in worship or in pastoral care, in education and reflection, spirit and the arts, faith and action, which sometimes is about social justice. And then, of course, as Paul has alluded to, we're an enterprise that has facilities, and with facilities you need facilities management, and that's also linked closely, of course, with resources. Some of the discussion today about giving is related to resources, both financial but also in kind. And so these days, of course, as soon as you've got an enterprise with resources, you're also into and underneath the Health and Safety Act. And so there are issues of health and safety and where do we fit and do we comply. It means that we're employing staff, and if you employ staff, it means we have contracts. And so again, it calls on expertise given by those with the expertise and the time to do so that help us with the ministry of this church. And so I just, in alluding to those pillars, we say that if you have some time and expertise, consider giving some of that to the mission and future of this place.
And some people volunteer to sing standing up front with everyone else listening. So if those people would like to come forward while I explain that they're going to be singing a new tune that Vivian has written to Shirley Murray Words. And so Vivian, whose job does not require her to compose music, nevertheless does from time to time. And so that's one of the gifts that she gives to the community. So they're going to sing the first verse, and you've got the music in your order of service, so those of you for whom those black and white notes mean anything, follow it while they're singing, and then we'll stand to sing from the second verse. Thank you, Vivian. Yes, you can applaud. It's all right. You can give the gift of applause. One of the hardest volunteer jobs in our church is the 4 minutes you're allowed to talk with the children. And Cam Smart is going to talk to us about that, followed by Pam, who has another tricky little job, organising two groups that are both feisty. Come on.
In any organisation, or family, or sports club, a school, or a nation, there is a social contract. The organisation provides benefits, and the individual must contribute. Everyone must paddle the waka, or hoist the sails, or calculate the course, or make the music. From each according to ability, and to each according to need, all hands and the cook. Shortly after I came to St Andrews, our first grandson was born. I discovered that I had a rapport with small children. So when Jim Stewart asked me to try time with the children, I said yes. I've loved it. It takes 3 or 4 hours to prepare a 4-minute story. And before we started today, Rosemary Lawrence asked me to ensure that they were no more than 4 minutes, and this one no more than 2. If I decide to make some props to add to the theatricality of the story, it might take 20 hours, and I have loved every minute of them.
I'm not quite sure whether that will elicit any more volunteers for time with the children. Thank you, Cam. And following him, Pam, thanks. Pam is the chair of the St Andrew's Trust for the Study of Religion and Society, and she and her team, of which I'm a member, I should disclose my interest, ran a really good seminar this weekend.
Much thanks to Susan for a wonderful job of continuity. I came to St Andrew's. I'm a born and bred Anglican, and I think the thing that has always been really important to me about being in the church, particularly in my childhood, is what we would call unconditional love. The fact that you just went and you were accepted, there was nothing put on you. And I find the same here, that coming to St Andrew's, I find that same spirit of being accepted and not having to do anything, just be who you are. At the same time, I also know that I really get more out of things if I get more involved. And so it's not just a case of being part, but participating. And the other part of me is that I like to learn things, I like to know, I'm curious. And so in both cases, with Satters and with the Spirit of Conversations, I found myself with ideas and nudging people and saying, why don't we try this or that? And having been to lots of lectures over the years for Satters, feeling drawn to be part of that group and learning a little bit more about them. As I found in both cases, I found myself as the convener, and I bring my play centre background there because we always talk about leadership as leading from behind. We used to always say at play centre, if you were the person in charge, nobody should know, you should just be in there doing it with everybody else. And I think the real buzz in doing it that way is to see other people coming forward and participating in the group. So we've had a really wonderful weekend with only a really little board. We are looking for new members. Am I allowed to do some advertising? But everyone on the board took a role, and it was just a really lovely feeling to feel that the whole weekend just flowed with everybody fitting in. So that's me, and that's why I do it. It's just a case of what feels right for me, and also there's those opportunities that come, and I think I can do that. That would be something I'd like to do.
Thank you, Pam. Could someone bring me the card that's been around for signing? I'm not quite sure. It's there? Oh, excellent. I can get it myself from there. Karen, do you want to come up the front? Probably not, is the answer. This is probably the worst thing you've had to do in your whole time here. Karen joined us just before I did. She started the February before I arrived on Palm Sunday. And so we were newbies together, finding our way around the mysteries of writing orders of service. And I found to my shock that you all expected to have an order of service sent to you on Thursday at lunchtime, which was about a whole day earlier than I'd been used to. And then I found that Karen was there for half a day and I wasn't there on Monday. So we worked it out. We've got this cunning system devised, haven't we, with initials and things. It's all a mystery. But I found Karen to be a really reliable worker and also a very precise one. And she would pick up things that I miss in my broad brush way, and she would remember details. And I'd like to say on her behalf that you really do need to let the office know when you are not going to be available for rosters. Because she dealt with that with great grace, I think, because it's a really hard thing to put a roster together. It's a little like herding cats, and that's been one of her jobs. And the nice thing about Karen, too, is that she thinks about the job and she makes suggestions about how it could be better. So she introduced Smart Roster, which helped for a while. The thing is, with a Smart Roster, you need smart people to run it. And so on this card, Karen, which I'm sure more people need to sign, there are pictures of orders of service you have produced, those jolly welcome booklets that we sweated through. One thing that's missing is a picture of the mural cards, because those mural cards that we sold from the mural, Karen produced most of those, and that was another big job that was added to her extras. And I know that the people in the centre have found Karen to be a calm, welcoming presence and an efficient one, making sure that people have had everything that they have requested. She also, for us, did a really Trojan job that most of you wouldn't quite realise, that when David, well, first of all, David had Fridays off for a whole term before last Christmas, and we filled in. Karen did a full day on a Friday. And then when he said then he was going, I was thinking, I think you might have been too, oh, good, this Friday thing's over. He'll be back next year. But he announced his resignation. And so Karen stepped in as centre manager and did a superb job, including coping with a completely unexpected major computer meltdown right in the middle. So we are very grateful, Karen, for that. And I know that the little notes and systems that you have set in place will be helpful to us in the future. So on Friday, we gave her some flowers and a collage of us, a collage of St. Andrews. This is more for her. And we hope that it will... I've set it up inside, so if you did open it and pulled it out, you would actually see it set up. I hope that... I know that being contemplative is something that you hope to have more time to do. And this might help. It's the Trinity.
Thank you. I'm very much a background person, so standing up here and talking to you is very foreign to me. But the one thing I've really enjoyed about working for St. Andrews is it's not my skills, such as they are, can be used in a number of ways, but working for a church means I'm working for a community. And I've really enjoyed that, and I've enjoyed getting to know lots of you. Some of you, this is probably the first time you've ever seen me, and likewise, some of you I've never met before, but that feeling of working for a community has been really enjoyable, and I will miss it. So thank you.
Yes, good idea. Okay. I have some thoughts on generosity, and they're written in the script at the back of the church. And I don't think I'm going to deliver them all now, but I want to just read my concluding paragraph. We do not give in order to please others, even to support others, nor do we give to avoid punishment or disapproval. These are only the side benefits of giving. We need to give because to be generous opens our own hearts to the joy and the privilege of being human. When we are generous, we are better human beings. A generous community is therefore one in which all are more able to reach the potential within us. So Wendy will come and lead us in the prayers.
For the God who walks on wounded feet and heals with wounded hands, for the God of imperfections, we go into this wonderful world, this imperfect world, to reflect God's perfect love and in so doing, claim what it is to be truly human. As we take communion today, let us remember the children of Parihaka who sang and offered bread to the grim approaching soldiers. From the book, we hold Noel Cheer in our hearts as he bravely faces a terminal illness and send love and strength to him and his wife, Shirley Dixon, and their family. And we also remember Frances, our special Frances in hospital. Her mind is so sharp, but in her words, her body does let her down. And we certainly think of her as she's going to have surgery on that hip. And we bring our prayers together in the prayer for St. Andrews. If you're visiting, you're welcome to make this also a prayer for your community and your place. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, desire for beauty, and the clear for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Our offering will be received. Let us say the prayer together. We have been given much. Out of that plenty, we bring what we owe in gratitude, in thankfulness for the journey travelled thus far, and in anticipation of the journey to come. We give in order to make our journey and others' journeys possible. So may it be. Amen. St. Andrews is an open community and all are invited to the table. Wherever you are on your faith's journey, wherever you've come from and wherever you are going to, whatever you believe, whatever you do not believe, you are welcome to participate in the communion. This is God's meal for all people. O eternal Spirit, we give thanks, because with fire and wind you came among us. You burst forth and our lives have never been the same. You continue to reveal yourself to women and men, offering a new way of living, new energy for the journey. Therefore, with the energy and powerful love which we can now find deep within us, with creative people who delight us, transforming darkness and despair, with those who are artistic and visualize for us another way, with those who are damaged and bring new perspective to life stage, with those who are rich in enthusiasm, who inspire others to do good and do well, we give thanks, saying, Holy, 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 loving Spirit God, heaven and earth are full of your glory, the glory of the power that is love. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are they who come in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who after a meal with his friends, people much like us, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said words like, This is the bread of the new covenant, which is for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying words like, This cup is the wine of the new covenant. drink this to remember me. Come now, spirit of all times and places, be the wind which blows between us, be the fire that kindles our hearts, be the language which draws us together. And may these elements from grain and grape nourish the spirit within us, be our source and beginning, staying with us until our ending. So may it be. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, eat and drink, for all is ready. Let us pray. We do not leave this table without remembering our sisters and brothers in the faith and outside the faith, but particularly those who will celebrate this feast in successive waves around the planet this day. And we pray for them the love and the peace at the core of their hearts that we know. So may it be. Amen. Before we say the blessing, let me remind you there's a cup of tea and coffee afterwards, to which you are all very welcome to continue the conversation. We have listened and heard. We have prayed and reflected. Now we go from here to live out what we have learned, to spread the generosity we have seen, to help this world become a better place for all people in all places at all times. May all people everywhere know love surrounds them every moment of every day.